o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Friday show, special edition. Obviously no show on the radio tonight, but we still like to provide. We still like to give a couple of games of footy on a Friday night. Manly paying tribute to the late, great Bob Fulton, MG. Lots of footy to enjoy on this long weekend. You settling in nicely for a long weekend. What are you up to?
Yeah, nothing much. No, just a quiet one, actually. Mm-hmm. It's been a hectic month of May, where basically every day had something really important on. So going to put the feet up this weekend and just relax, mate.
I don't think you're alone there. I think a lot of people might have plans similar to that for the long weekend. I do. I've got bugger all on, and I couldn't be happier about it.
I think sometimes we've got to do that. I tell my gym members the exact same thing. You know, take 3 or 4 days off and just smell the air.
Listen to your body. Listen to your body. If your body's saying, have a rest.
Or as Roxette would say, listen to your heart, because it's calling for you.
One man who listens to his heart is our producer, Charlie, who joins us in studio. Hello, Charles.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Chucky.
What are you doing for the long weekend?
I'm actually working a lot, unfortunately. Monday, I'm doing the Dragons-Bulldogs game. Sunday, I've got the Tigers-Eels game. Hmm. And then Friday, I've got to work today, this afternoon. You guys get to have the rest of the day off, but... We've got the footy. Oh, you're doing the footy, yeah. Just Liam.
It's just me then. Okay, well, I feel bad about talking about putting my feet up so much. Hey, today we're going to play some Blankety Blanks very shortly, but also Grant Hackett. I guess if Thorpey's the superfish, what do we call Hackie?
Oh, he'd be the almost superfish.
Almost.
The squid.
No, I think Thorpey's the shark. Hackett's the dolphin.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, regardless of what terrible nicknames we're prescribed.
You know, they're both good blokes.
What we now know is that we are rubbish at coming up with nicknames on the spot. Grant Hackett is going to join us. He is part of the commentary team for Amazon Prime Video, who are calling the Australian swimming trials. And what about this tough luck? Did you see that story during the week about the 12 swimmers that got left in the lurch by Swimming Australia and Victoria? Because of the lockdown situation, right, when the lockdown happened, Swimming Australia basically grabbed Mac Horton and the other superstars and took them up to Queensland. So they were clean and clear and could get into South Australia no problems. But then South Australia said, well, if you want those other 12 lesser types, reserve graders, to still be able to come along and compete at the swimming trials, you have to basically apply and promise to stay in line with the guidelines that we've set out. Which is what Collingwood had to do the other weekend for the AFL. And Swimming Australia said, oh, no, we can't do that.
Wow.
So there's 12.
So they've been practicing for, what, 4 years leading up to this?
Yeah.
And then they won't get to...
And if we call a spade, chances are most of them wouldn't have made the team. But still,
they're
robbed of the opportunity to go and compete.
Yeah, and I bet you out of one of them 12 that would have had a fairy tale.
Exactly.
And that's what the Olympics are made of, fairy tales.
So, I mean, it's an impromptu version of knob or not, but I'm calling Swimming Australia a knob for doing that.
Screw them.
That's crap.
Yeah, good.
All right. Blankety blanks. Producer Charlie has sporting phrases with blanks in them that we need to fill in. Charles, over to you.
Blank was the unsung hero on Origin Wednesday night.
Cam Murray. The way he handled Fifita in defence was so good. Fifita's been a wrecking ball for the Titans, and Cam Murray's been out for injured and suspension this year. He's had a pretty disrupted year. But he just made Fifita look like an A-grader because his defence was on point and fantastic.
Can't go past Cam Murray from a player's perspective. I'll say City of Townsville.
Mm.
It was fantastic. I thought the atmosphere, I was watching at home on the TV, but I thought it looked amazing. Not a spare seat in the house. It looked great.
Suited New South Wales perfectly.
Mm.
Yeah.
The player Queensland missed most was Blank.
Josh Papali'i for mine. I thought, that it was, especially when Christian Welch went off with the HIA, I think if the big pupper had been out there, it would have been still, the result probably doesn't change, but Cam Munster and DCE get a lot more time to operate behind big pupper.
I'm going to say Kalen Ponga. Kalen Ponga's, flamboyance and unpredictability was missed, and I'm not sure whether you're playing game two, because I'm not sure if this groin injury is as recovering as we think. It could be worse than we think, so hopefully he's back, because I want to see the best Queensland team at Suncorp.
What a bloody waste of time that was, putting him into camp.
I don't know what the rationale was. And either Adam O'Brien said the same thing. He's coach at Newcastle.
All right, boys. Blank is the one player from Queensland that will be dropped for game two.
Kyle Felt.
Ah, poor Felt.
It's a harsh business origin. I think what will happen is Val Holmes will find his way into a wing and either Ponga or Brimson will be fullback.
And my answer is based on what MG said in yesterday's show.
Which was?
Exactly that. They'll shuffle Val Holmes to a wing, which means Carl Felt misses out.
The word that sums up the Townsville origin experience is blank.
Oh.
You hadn't thought about this one, had you? No, you forgot that Charlie was going to ask it.
I'll give you mine.
I was worthy of the occasion.
Well, that's more than one word.
I know it is, I know, but I'm filling in a blank.
It's a phrase.
Worthy. Wow. Worthy.
Yeah.
I think that if it couldn't be at the MCG and we don't want it to be at Suncorp and ANZ Stadium, Townsville has shown that they are a perfect second city for Queensland to host State of Origin games.
I'm going to say exuberant.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Exuberant. The whole city felt it was just a light. The game sold out in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 28,000 tickets in 2 minutes. So they have a passion for it there. You can imagine if it was a tight game. Imagine if it was 26-24, the crowd would have, like in the first 5 minutes, you could hardly hear even Munster miss the six to go because it was so loud, the crowd. But they just didn't, they started walking out with 10 to 15 to go. So unfortunately for them, but the whole thing was exuberant.
That's the one low light, I guess, from the game because of the margin. You kind of wanted Townsville and the fans that were there to get a great game.
Yeah.
And like that, don't get me wrong. I mean, I reckon there's 28,000 Townsvillians walking away from that game last night going, Tom Trbojevic, oh my God. Mm. They've just got to witness one of the, most fantastic performances State of Origin seen. But it would have been so good if it was a nail biter that came down in the last 5 minutes. Mm.
If you get our round preview podcast, boys, you'll see MG's tipping all the favourites this round. But blank will be the upset of the round.
Cronulla
I'm
Sharks.
You're going to say the Sharks.
Cronulla Sharks.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Yeah. I agree.
Okay. I'm going to say the Tigers.
Wow.
If there had to be one, that I think that's the one.
You know, the Eels haven't won without Reid Marnie.
Ever?
In the last, like.
Ever?
No, in the last, this like. Year. Yeah, I think he's missed three games this year,
Okay, this is where we...
one lesson in radio is you've got to get your stats right, your facts and your stats
the
right before you...
I'm pretty sure they haven't won a game without Reid Marnie the last three seasons.
This is where we need to pull back the curtain.
In the last week.
Producer Charlie is... And by the way, I'll give him a pump up before I give him a whack. The cross promotion of our round preview podcast was excellent just there.
Thank you.
It was excellent. Awesome. It was seamless. Awesome. It was radio sensibilities. But... where he's fallen down is his classic case of you do this around the office a lot. you make a statement with zero information to back
Doesn't he?
And then you just go, trust me. It's
surprisingly correct though a lot of the time. If someone was there scoring my bold statements, I'm pretty sure most of them turn out to be true.
So we'll just run us through that one again.
So Reid Marnie, the Eels haven't won a game.
Figure it out first and then say it.
Lost one, yep.
Haven't won a game without Reid Marnie in the last 3 years.
Haven't won a game without Reid Marnie in the last 3 years. Okay.
Good luck Googling that, is all I'll say.
Well,
so he just throws things up that you can't Google.
No, this is very Googleable. It's just that the internet in here apparently...
We'll just take his word for it because
you can't be bothered hanging around as him.
No, I like it. I like these bold... things about his bold statements are that they're very bold, but they're very inaccurate.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, you can only pick one of these foods to eat for the rest of your life as your source of protein.
Oh, we've got more to go.
You've got seafood, chicken or meat. You pick blank.
Oh, how could I live without seafood? But living in Penrith, I don't get to eat much of it. Steak, yeah. I used to be a massive steak eater when I played footy, but since I've finished and retired, I'm not a massive red meat eater. I'm a big chicken eater. I have chicken burgers, chicken Kiev, chicken soup, chicken sausages, fried chicken, grilled chicken, chicken noodle soup.
So what's your answer?
Chicken.
Before I... Actually, no, I'll come to... I'll I'll continue picking holes in Charlie's argument in a second. You presented a great argument for chicken. So versatile. I think so I've got to say seafood.
Mm. A lot more options than your chicken because you can have salmon, you can have tuna.
Tuna, prawns.
I could keep naming fish if you wanted me to.
You got any bold statements about seafood?
Make a bold statement about seafood.
Always an enjoyable experience eating seafood.
Oh, that's not
now,
bold.
Now, Charlie, rehash your Reed Marnie statement.
So Reed Marnie, they haven't won a game without Reed Marnie in the last 3 seasons. And I'm pretty sure where I fell apart was the back
they
half
haven't
of the statement.
Won a game
without Reed Marnie
in the last 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, you've changed that slightly.
No, I haven't. That was it.
Okay. Because he did play in the 3 losses that they've suffered this year.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. They haven't won a game without him. So make of that what you will.
Okay. I'm gonna research this and come back and put a correction in post.
Okay. What if I'm right, though?
I'll put a disclaimer in. In fact, you know what?
If you're right, when we do this next week, we'll make sure that we give you every accolade that is possible.
There we go. Next Friday's show, find out if Charlie's bold statement without research
was bold.
Is correct or not.
Yeah.
Was bold, and gold, or let's fold him.
And guess what? Charlie's now got his own statement. Bold statements made without research.
Yeah,
I love it.
From producer Charlie, coming exclusively on Fridays, and then the following Friday, we'll give you a scorecard. We'll start telling you whether you're right or not. Enough of our rubbish. Let's get to Grant Hackett.
Grant Hackett.
MG, last week on the show, we had a chat with the superfish, Ian Thorpe, about the Head Above Water documentary that Amazon Prime Video has released. And if you haven't seen it, go and check it out. It's a fantastic bit of production. We love this storytelling that Amazon is doing around the sporting world at the moment.
Mm.
But this weekend, they're providing us with more swimming content, which is outstanding. They will be covering the Australian swimming trials live and exclusive to Amazon Prime Video, starting at June 12th all the way through to the 17th. And it is a pleasure to welcome in part of the commentary team, Australian bloody swimming legend, Grant Hackett. G'day, Grant.
G'day, Liam. G'day, MG. How are you guys?
Oh, Hacky. Great to hear your voice, buddy. We spoke to one of your contemporaries.
Too.
Yeah, one of your contemporaries last week in the torpedo, and now we're talking to this one of the other men involved in the golden years of swimming.
Yeah, no, it was pretty amazing that I haven't seen the whole documentary yet, Head Above Water, but it's quite phenomenal the way they capture the whole stories and trials and tribulations that you go through as an athlete, and particularly in the sport of swimming. Most people don't appreciate the heavy schedule, training schedule that you have to do just to get yourself ready to compete, and then you get this one opportunity every 4 years and 5 years in the situation we are right now to actually show to the world how hard you've worked and what you're capable of.
The documentary, I mean, it's so well put together, but then this weekend, as you say, we get to see the fruits of those efforts with these swimmers competing down in Adelaide. Let's talk about the big name at the moment, Cody Simpson. I've heard you quoted in the press already about how impressed you are with what he has done so far. You've marked him down as someone you think will be competing in 2024. Can he make the team for Tokyo?
Look, I think it's a bit of a scratch right now for Cody. The fact he's only been back 12 months. I mean, he was outstanding as a kid. He used to win by miles at all the major championships. And then obviously the music took off. That took him overseas. And he had to scratch that itch. He wanted to see if he was still, you know, capable of training and being competitive at, you know, Olympic standard. And obviously for him coming back over the last 12 months was, look, let's be honest, we didn't know whether this Olympics would be on or off, and it looks like it's going to be on. We've got the trials kicking off this weekend on Saturday. But really, his focus is Paris 2024. That's what he's training for. But his improvement rate has just been so rapid. And I spoke to Cody very early on when he started out and, you know, started training again. And I just basically said to him, I said, mate, are you serious about this? Is it a bit of a gimmick? And he goes, no, I'm fully committed. I'm committed to 4 years. And I have to say, he's put it all on the line. He's put another career that's been very successful on hold. And he's rapidly improving all the time. So I think we can expect Cody to make a final here. And who knows how high he's going to get up in that final and whether he can scrape in for a medal or not. But yeah, we'll see if he can continue to bring his time down at the same rate that he has been.
Yeah, he'll certainly bring some A-list eyes upon the Australian tennis. Australian swimming team anyway. Uncertain times, as we know, Hacky, around the world, especially for you guys stuck in Melbourne as we speak. But what is for certain is that Australia always brings out a fantastic swimming team. Who can we look for this weekend in the trials to start?
Look, This weekend, you know, kicking off on the 12th on Prime Video, you can see the likes of Kate Campbell. She's been around the block a few times, and this will be probably her big last opportunity for Olympic glory. Emma McKeon on the female side, she's been a very consistent performer, but she's been performing outstandingly well over the last 6 months from the times that he's producing. Kyle Chalmers is another one I love to watch race. He's so impressive the way he can get up and execute an event. And, of course, he's a defending Olympic champion in the men's blue ribbon event, the 100-meter freestyle. And there's one other person that I think people should really look out for, and it's in the women's 100-meter backstroke. She's Commonwealth record holder, sorry, and an Australian record holder, Kaylee McEwen. So she's just a fraction off the world record at the moment. She's not well-known in the world of swimming or sport, full stop, but I think she can make a big splash and continue to improve, and who knows what she can perform come Tokyo.
Grant, I'm curious to know about the pecking order in the pool because of the vast array of events. I mean, you've got Kyle Chalmers, and in that documentary, he's quoted as talking about the 100-metre sprint being the big, you know, it's the testosterone, it's the big boys. But then you go all the way to the other end, which is the events you dominated, the distance events, 1,500 metres and the likes. MG, you know that in the locker room, there are the forwards sit with the forwards and the halves are sitting with the halves. How does a swim team break itself up on these sort of trips, Grant?
It's really funny because you do get, you know, within a culture, there's all these subcultures, right? And who sits with whoever at lunch. And it's funny. I mean, I always found our team, there's always groups, you know, guys like to play cards, guys that like to, you know, interested in other areas of life. But as a swim team, because we've got both male and female, you tend to always mix and have a real respect for the female side because obviously you're traveling together, you're training together, you're competing together. So it's kind of all sort of meshed into one the whole time, and then you kind of go out into, like I said, those separate groups depending on, you know, what you naturally gravitate towards. But yeah, it's funny. I mean, I used to hang out with, you know, the likes of Ian and Klimmy and some of the relay guys quite a bit, but I just knew them from such a young age as well. You know, Ian and I came through that whole era in the sport together, and we used to compete together. And it was funny, we finished first and second, I think, for almost about 7 or 8 years in the 400-meter freestyle. And every time you go into a marshalling area with Ian, a lot of the other guys don't speak, you know, English. So you're literally in there, and it's very foreign. I always found marshalling areas awkward because it's where people try and intimidate you or stare at you. And so we'd always just stick together because we're both from the same country and then go out and do our thing. And it was a really nice thing to have a buddy there the whole time. And you kind of got a bit of confidence out of that. And, you know, we were able to do the job in the pool on a consistent basis.
All right. Hypothetical situation. You and Thorpey turn up at the Sydney Olympic swimming pool this afternoon, 200-metre race. Who's taking out the chocolates?
Oh, I've got him covered for sure.
You got him covered
for
now?
Sure now. For sure.
You reckon?
As if I'm not going to say anything else. Well, of course. The trouble is, he's had so many shoulder injuries since he retired from the sport. I'm not even sure if he can quite get through 200 metres at any sort of decent speed. So I know I've got that advantage because my body's held up pretty well. But yeah, he put his body through so much. I mean, we forget that Ian Thorpe's times that he was swimming at the Sydney Olympics and around, you know, 20 plus years ago would win Olympics today. Like,
really?
It's so freakish what he was doing and how fast he was. I mean, he brought world records down by not hundreds of a second, which people normally do in our sport, but by seconds. So, you know, he was a freakish talent, and it certainly got the best out of me in my career.
Well, Liam asked Thorpey that same question, and he said, well, you know what? If I know that the guy or girl I'm going to swim against can swim, I fake the shoulder injury. But if I know I can get them, I kick their ass with my size 17 feet.
Well, that's the trouble. I mean, you know, it's really funny. Like, you think of a 50-metre pool ride, and you know, you think, if I can jump in and swim 40 or 45 seconds, just a normal person, I'd be doing pretty well. Thorpey with a kickboard in his heyday, just freestyle kick, could kick 27 seconds for 50 metres.
Wow.
You'd actually have to be running along the side of the pool just to keep up with that. That's how fast it was. So he not only had these huge flexible feet, but he had a couple of outboards, his quads as well. So, mate, he would have rivaled you in the front row, I think, MG.
Oh, mate. What about it? When we used to you know, do a bit of cross training in the pool, we'd always try and do the old record under the water, tap, go back 100 metres, try and get that. What's the most you've ever gone on under the water in an Olympic pool?
So I've been able to do probably about, without flippers about 80 or 90 metres. So you know, go all the way up and nearly come all the way back. And with flippers, probably closer to three laps at my very best. Yeah. Now I get 25 metres on a good day.
Well, there's a medal gone begging then, Grant, because you know at the 1900 games in Paris, underwater swimming was an event.
Yeah, no, I'm no good at the underwater, so I wouldn't.
No, those ones, Hacky's good. Hacky might get a gold medal. Those ones are dark. Breakdancing's back in this one, so you never know.
Yeah, that's true. You've seen my moves, MG. So,
I feel like,
hold on.
I'll take it out on the dance floor.
Hold on.
But whatever.
I'm not letting this night out with MG and Grant Hackett just slip by. When was this? What are we talking?
We've had many nights out together.
Yeah. So, you know, what stays at the club? You know, yes, the club.
I think it was in Perth, so actually. It was in Perth when we met up. And I couldn't believe how tall he was.
Yeah, no, I get that. And I thought, geez, you're a bit of a big unit. I don't know what Wally was just thinking, just quietly. But anyway, I might be tall, but you're wider. So.
Honestly, Grant, these Perth years of MG are the great mysterious years. He won't tell me his stories about going out and socialising with Tony Modra. Now he's keeping the stories about him and Grant Hackett to himself. One day, MG, I'm going to get you to open up on your time in Perth. Hey, this weekend, Amazon Prime Video, the Australian swimming trials, live and exclusive. Grant Hackett will be part of the commentary team. Grant, we can't wait to see it. The Australian swim team is the heartbeat of our Olympic team, let's be honest. So we can't wait to see who's going to be competing and representing us at Tokyo.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate you having me on. Cheers.
Great to hear your voice, big boy.